Now listen, I'm going to take my time, okay? Everybody else took their time. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. It's always nice to come home. Sam, what's going on here, man? Now, have you guys been watching Sam on Lenses of Love? On Hope Channel? He looked good on the TV, doesn't he? You know, Sam, when you leave Downsview, you're promoted. You have a great pastoral team here at Downsview. Pastor O'Connor, Pastor Clark. They are doing a great work at this church, and it's evident, not only in the church, but in the worship service, the atmosphere that's here today. Because you see, when we come back, Sam, we check it out. We see how things are going, and you guys have taken it to a new level, man. Keep rising it up, brother. Keep rising it up. And you know, Pastor Clark, Pastor Connor is a very good senior pastor. I watch him work. I see how he nurtures, how he leads, and how he guides. Elder, thank you for what you do and the blessings of your ministry. Well, since I've left, I've been busy. Amen? And as I work in my capacity as Director of Compassion, I had to go to Jamaica in December because of the hurricane. Melissa left a mess. We want to thank you for the giving that you did, because I was able to go down. It came in, I went to the place that they used to call Black River. I went to the place that they used to call Black River. As Melissa came in, it just wiped out that side of the island, the west part of the island, and the electrical grid in Montego Bay and the whole west side is gone. And they have to rebuild the electrical grid. I came in December, and they said that people will not be getting power in that side of the island till October. This morning, when you turned on the light, it was different, right? Some people have no electricity for almost a year. Please pray for Jamaica. It's going to take years to rebuild. Years. And we're going to have to continue to be there to support them. They were so grateful that we're able to do what we're able to do, but continue to pray for the island. And right after Jamaica, a super typhoon hit in the Philippines. So once again, we reached out to the church, and you were there. You guys are always there, man. It's amazing. Praise God for you, man. Praise God for all of you have given. There'll be a report on the OCN as to how much was given, and I've been down to see what it's being used for. We in the Ontario Conference joined hands with the West Jamaica Conference. I met with President Glenn O'Samuels, and we have decided to use our resources to put roofs back on houses. Amen. And as we've gone back, I was at, we were in Louisville 2 weeks ago, and I was there to meet with the first team from the North American Division who had just returned from Jamaica and was putting the roofs back on the houses. So your dollars are being used right now on the ground, making a difference in people's lives. Continue to pray. Continue to bless as you have been blessed. All right? Also with me today is Pastor Carlton Ralston. Stand up, giant. Everybody knows Pastor Ralston, right?
Yes.
He works with me in prison ministry. So today, thank you, sir. So today we have come to present to you prison ministry. But the sad part about today is that this program was planned with Sister Denny. And that's just the truth. She was with us in August at the prison ministry's convention, right, Bethel? And we talked about it in August about the Bethel. And she said, Pastor, you got to come to Downsview. And I talked to Pastor Connor. We put a date aside. I expected her to be sitting right there. Yeah, that's where she sits, right there, today at this program. We do this in honor of her. And as Pastor said, she left a legacy. So Downsview, she expects to see prison ministry effective and working at this church. So we've come to lay out to you prison ministry, to talk to you about what you can do as a church, how you can get involved in helping to improve the lives of those who are incarcerated. Please pray for her family. We understand that we do not mourn as those who have no hope, but we're always hurt when we lose one that we love. So, let's talk about it at midnight. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being in the midst of the moment. We thank you for our young people who led us in worship today. Father God, we praise you. We don't have to worry. Our lives are in your hands. Bless us now and be with us through this service, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I see those young people singing, when I left last time, they were only this big. Now they're up, and look how they're so fashionable, and they look so nice, and they sing so good. Please pray for your young people. Look after them. Take care of them. Don't forget them. I'm in Acts, the 16th chapter. So passing by Mysia, they went on to Taurus, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. The Macedonian call. So Paul decides to go over Macedonia and to help. And as him and Silas go, they're going to assist in ministry at this time. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go out to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. As you said this morning in your presentation, Brother Peter, the work is outside, is it not? It's not inside. We were called to make a difference in the community. Okay, one person agrees with me. I'll go on this side. I didn't get any better since I left. I hope you know that, right? We were called to make a difference in the community.
That's right.
We're not called to look after ourselves, be pretty. You guys look fabulous today. But we were called to make a difference in the community. That's why we were called. That's why we're here. And as Paul and Silas went out and preached the word and told people what was happening, on the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate in the riverside where they supposed there was a place of prayer. They sat down and spoke to a woman who had come together. And as they preached and they shared the word, she was so moved by the whole experience. She was converted by their preaching. One who heard at time was Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And because of her heart was moved, guess what? She called others. She called others. Have you shared your faith lately? Who have you told about Jesus? You know, Pastor, the other day I was watching the Emmys. Everybody got quiet. Don't tell me you guys don't watch nothing, but that's okay. That's why you're my girl, eh? I was watching the Emmys. And when I was watching the Emmys, this guy came, Jelly Roll. You know Jelly Roll? Boy, these people aren't pretending they don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, Jelly Roll came on. And Jelly Roll, this singer, Christian rocker, stood up on national TV, and he said, Jesus saved my life. With his little Bible there, you know, the New Testament. And said, and I watched that, Elder, and I said, wow! Unashamed. Billions of people. And here he is saying, Jesus! 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 When's the last time we called out Jesus' name in public? Unashamed of what's happening. And I'm telling you, a billion people are watching the Emmys and watching this man, and he says it. Jesus saved my life, and he can save yours too. I was blown away. I was stuck there in the moment watching this. Lydia heard the word, and she told others about what was happening or her whole household. She wanted everyone to know that Jesus is alive and well, and he can make a difference in your life. And she wasn't going to be quiet about it. When Jesus does something for you, you can't be quiet. You've got to spread the word. You've got to tell everybody. I know we're quietly saying, man, things are tough. Things are difficult right now. The world that we live in right now is upside down. If you didn't know it, Jesus is soon to come. And the signs of the times are real. So as Lydia was there, after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed on them. Come to my house. Share the word. Tell someone. Tell everyone. And you know, it's so true. When you have good news, when you have good news, don't you want everyone to know about the good news? So she was baptized, her household was baptized. You have an area of influence. It says that each and every one of you has 9 people in the world that you influence personally. That means that if you speak to them, they will listen to you. You're having evangelism, right, Pastor?
That's right.
Let me take a count and see how many people. 1 second. So if I go that and that times by 9, there's not enough space in here, is it? So if you just invite one person, there's not enough space in the church for those people. Imagine if you invite 2 people. Does everybody here, hold on a second, we're going to do a poll outside of the sermon. How many people here know 2 people that they would like to tell about Jesus Christ? How many people here? Wow, man, you're going to have a big series, man. You're going to have a big series. Lydia's whole household was baptized by the influence that she had at that time. And as they were going to the place of prayer, they were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain for fortune telling. That is very correct. Fortune telling is of the devil. You're right. And I'll move on. And as she was there saying, these men are of God. Do you know that the devil knows who God is? You'll get that one next week. He knows who God is. So as she was behind her and saying, these men are of God, they were annoyed. Stop causing trouble. Keep quiet. She followed Paul and she was crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." She wasn't saying a wrong thing. She was just saying it over and over again. So finally they decided we got to keep her quiet. And this kept them doing for many days. Paul, having great annoying, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out." I wish we had that power today, eh? Eh? I wish we had that power today, eh? You know, some people got some kind of spirit, eh? You know what I'm saying? And then you say, "Come out." Some people have been behaving that way, Sister Foster, in the church for years. They need to come out. Anyway. And as they cast out this demon, guess what? Her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. Now, what were they more concerned about? Money. But they didn't realize the power of the Holy Spirit that was upon them right now, did they? Too often we're concerned about our personal gain, our loss of finances, and not realizing that Jesus has just touched down. And he's about to make a difference. He's about to turn things upside down. So they grabbed Paul and Silas. They said, "You guys are causing trouble." The crowd joined in attacking them. The magistrates tore their garments off of them, gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into the prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safe. Sometimes you may do the right thing and still end up in the wrong place. But as long as it is for the cause of Christ, don't worry. Jesus will take care of you. I know that some people, they'll stand up for their work and they'll say, "You know what, I'm not going to work on this day." They may lose their job. But stand up for Jesus. He'll take care of you.
That's right.
No matter what happens in this world, Christ has you in the palm of his hands. Don't forget that. Jesus is with you. It may look bleak now, but your salvation is just around the corner. They beat them. Now, when Paul and Silas were beaten, what do you think they thought? This is unfair? It records that Paul and Silas were grateful that they could be beaten for the cause of Christ. Wow. That's faith. We consider ourselves to be privileged that we could suffer, because remember, they know Jesus suffered. And if we get to suffer for the cause of Christ, we should consider it a joy. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, here we are, prison ministry. Paul and Silas are in prison. Not only did they put them in prison, they put them in the bottom of the prison. Not only did they put them in prison, in the bottom of the prison, they put their hands and their feet in stocks so they can't move. So here they are, beaten, in the bottom of the prison, with their hands and their feet in stocks. Woe is unto them. What would you do in that situation? Would you say, woe is me? This is not fair. God, why did you make this happen? We know what happens, right? It says that at midnight. I need some worshipers today. I need some worshipers today. It says that at midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God. The prisoners are listening to them. You see, you know why Paul and Silas were happy that they were thrown into prison? Because they could do prison ministry inside. Now they're inside the prison. So now they can do prison ministry from the inside, not the outside. And they're in the prison, and their hands are chained up. And they're praising God and singing hymns unto God. I don't know about you, but the last time things got difficult, were you singing? The last time it got rough, were you praising God for your situation? The last time that you didn't know where the money was going to come from in the end of the month, were you happy about it? They're in the middle of the prison. Their hands are in stock. I remember they got beaten first. And they're singing praises to God. I don't know, man. What song were they singing? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. They're in prison. And they're doing prison ministry. It might have been amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. But they're singing. They're in prison and they're singing. Now, you know why they're singing? Because they want everyone else to hear. Because the other people in the jail aren't singing. Oh, you're not with me yet. You see, everybody heard what happened to them. It's jail. It's a small community. They heard these guys got beaten. They heard that they carried them down to the bottom. They heard when they locked them in. The other prisoners are wondering, what are they singing about? I've been here for about 2 years. I ain't got nothing to sing about yet. And they're still in prison. Then they brought these two guys in there. And these guys are singing praises. Don't you think they want to know the God that they're singing to? How come they can sing? I think I know what they were singing. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In a mansion bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus
We'll sing and shout the victory.
As they said shout, suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open. Everybody's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open, he threw out his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing everybody was gone. Not only were Paul and Silas released, can't stop the story there. Everybody in the prison is now released. Listen, don't you think the other prisoners want to know who are these two guys? I want to know about this God. Because you see, while they were singing, he was on their mind. And he released them and he released us. I got to know about this God. Number two, the jailer's in trouble. Because see, back in those days, not like today, back in those days, if the prisoner escaped, they killed the jailer. So what did the jailer's getting ready to kill himself. But what, come on now. I need some worshipers in here. You see, what happens in the midst of the midnight? When you're in this situation, when things don't look good, and you don't know what's going to happen, you gotta be a worshiper. God needs some worshipers. Somebody who's gonna praise the Lord no matter what their situation or their circumstance. God needs some worshipers. We can sit down here and complain about the circumstance, or we can understand that we need to worship God no matter what the situation is. They said, stop, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Some people have said, you should have killed yourself because you beat us and you put us in jail. But you see, Paul and Silas are doing prison ministry. They're ministering to the prisoners. They're ministering to the jailers. They're ministering to everybody who will hear that they serve a Jesus who can save your life. Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself. We are all here. You see, the magistrate thought that they were putting Paul and Silas in jail. But what they didn't know is that they were putting Paul and Silas in the place for a divine appointment. Because Paul and Silas were there for the jailer and his family. Paul and Silas were there for the other prisoners. Because after that, you can guarantee me that after they heard about Lydia's story, they now gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Church, I just stopped by to tell you one thing. Jesus needs some worshipers. Don't worry about your situation. Just worship him. Don't matter how bad it gets. Just worship him. Don't matter about the situation, the circumstance. Just worship him. He's a good God. He'll take care of us. He's looked after us in the past, and he looked after us in the future. We just need some worshipers. That's all we need right now. No matter what the circumstance, no matter how bad things may look on the outside, worship God in spirit and in truth. He will take care of the rest. He brought them out, said, sir, hear what they said. He brought them out. And then they asked him, what must we do to be saved? What must we do to be saved? You see yourself in a situation at work. Boss is not treating you right. Worship. God will turn things around. You went to the doctor's office. You didn't get good news. Don't worry. Worship. Jesus is your doctor. You don't have enough money. Just worship him. God will put money where you didn't even know you had money. What God is looking for is worshipers. Those who will proclaim God no matter what. Because when we worship God, we're telling everybody else that we are children of the King. Prison ministry. Prison ministry grants us an opportunity to help those who have been incarcerated. I want you to know that not everybody makes the right decisions at the right time. Some people make mistakes, but we don't give up on them. Even if you make a mistake, we have an opportunity now to minister to you in a different way. And that's what prison ministry is all about. Having an opportunity to meet those people who have made bad choices, but now they have an opportunity to turn their lives around. Then shall he say unto those, saying, Lord, when saw we hungry or thirsty or a stranger, naked or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? You understand that part that's taken in Matthew? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, you have done it unto me. When we go into the prison, we're going there representing Jesus Christ. And the hardest thing is when you go in, I remember the first time I went into prison ministry. You know what I said? This is my own personal testimony. What am I going to tell these people? I've never been to prison. I've afraid of prison. That's the honest truth. I've afraid of prison. That's why I never get in trouble. Eh? I've afraid of prison. So now I said, let me go to prison ministry. I'm going to talk to these guys. These guys are gangbangers, man. Gangbangers, you know, doing this, doing that. And I prayed about it. And in his book, Noble Alexander says, I will die free. He was the one who trained me in prison ministry. And I went in and I just told them about Jesus. And I watched these young men, because it was only men we do, these young men, turn their ears and start to listen. Do you know when I was in prison, I met some preacher's kids? Yep. Church got quiet now. They know the Bible just as well as you do, but they're in prison. But when we went through the Word of God and they said, why are you here? I said, because you're important. Because you matter. And that's why I came. You can help to turn someone's life around just by the fact that you cared enough to come in and to spend time with them. You represent Christ to that young person. Christ's method alone will bring us true success. We need to mingle. We need to mingle. And it says very carefully, he was one who desired people's good. Jesus desires their good, shows people sympathy, ministers to their needs, and then won their confidence. Prison ministry gives you an opportunity to mingle with those who are in need. Christ's method. And when you go in, don't worry, the best part about going in is you get to leave. Afraid of, you know. This afternoon, Pastor Carlton is going to be doing a presentation on prison ministry, what you need to get involved. I would like you, those who are interested, please to stay back this afternoon. He's got a wealth of information. How many years have you been doing this, Chaplain? 34 years of knowledge in the area of prison ministry. And this afternoon, he's going to sit down and talk to you about what happens in the prison, the environment, what's necessary if you want to be a part of this. Now, everybody's looking at me and said, Pastor, I am not going into prison. It's okay. You get to leave, remember? And it's interesting when you go into prison, because when you go into prison, this is how it goes. You go in, you do your stuff, and you go to the first door. And then the door closes behind you. Then there's another door in front of you, and you go through that door. And then that door closes behind you. And the first time I saw that, you know what I realized? I'm not getting out of here unless those people open the door. It's the truth. 34 years in prison ministry. Pastor Carlton will take you through it, talk to you about the experience, what happens. You need to be trained. You need to be trained. Because you will make a difference in someone's life if you're willing to go in. Now, you don't have to go in, because not everybody can go in. But Jesus gave us a commission. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open up of the prison to them that are bound. Do you know there are some people who are in prison are freer than you who are out here? Because prison is not just the four walls. We make our own prisons sometimes. And Jesus came to set us free. This is just a practical aspect of prison ministry. He's, remember, you could be a prison of sight, blind, as I do in disability. But it's amazing, you know, Michelle, when I see blind people, you know, even though that they're blind, they can see. I'll come back and preach that sometime. There are other things that you can do. You can visit the prisoners inside. We can supply literature as a local institution. There's letter writing to inmates. There's angel tree. And of course, there's always prayer for those who are incarcerated. Pastor Carlton is going to outline all of these things for you. He's going to speak to the specifics of each of these other alternative ministries that you may be interested in being involved and engaged in. And your church, Angel Tree, is a ministry for the inmates and their families. So in Angel Tree, we help the inmates' family in providing them presents and other ideas. Because remember, when a prisoner is in prison, the family is on the outside. So you may not be able to go inside, but you can minister to the family who is outside as well. Now, aren't you with me? You didn't even think about all these things, did you? Did you realize all these different aspects that are available for you to minister to people who are incarcerated? No, eh? You've got to come back this afternoon. You can't miss. I hear there's some food somewhere.
I smell it.
I smell it too. Smells good. Please, come back. Learn what you can do to help make someone's difference. I'm going to share with you, it hasn't been out yet, but because I'm here today, I will tell you. The Community Service Center. You know where the Community Service Center is? At Bentworth? Does everybody know where the Community Service Center is? By Yorkdale Mall? Okay. You guys know where Toronto Central Church is? All right, you're with me now. We have a building there that's called the Community Service Center at Bentworth. I have been charged and tasked by the conference to change that center into a reintegration center for inmates. And I'm putting in a commercial kitchen for the community. We're going to cook. For the community. So we're going to cook for the community. Let me tell you now, I just got approval to start construction. So I'm going to need your prayers as we go through this program and through this process. There are 1,500 inmates released every year in Ontario. We would be the second reintegration center in the GTA. There's one in the east, we would be in the west. You see, we're talking about doing practical ministry. We can keep talking about what we should do, but it's about time we started making a difference in people's lives. Being out there in the street, letting them know, people don't care how much you know. Oh, wait a second. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you... Is that not true? So, evangelism is community service. Where's Sister Ruby? Evangelism is community service. Because when you leave here and you go out there with a bag of groceries or a warm blanket or a sleeping bag and you give it to that person, the next question that person is going to ask you, where are you from? Where is your church? Now, the difference is if you give them a flyer and say, come to my church, what are they going to say to you? I still need the groceries. I still need a blanket. Are you with me, church? We are Jesus' hands. We are Jesus' feet. The community outside wants to know, do you care? Not just to come into the church. They want to know, do you care about me? Are there needs out there? There are needs out there. And we can help people by showing them that we care enough to let them know that Jesus cares about them. All I need is a couple of worshipers. Just a few worshipers who are right now to represent Jesus Christ in the community. And we can turn this community upside down for Jesus. Pray with them. Feed them. Keep them warm. Look after them. I guarantee you there won't be enough room in this church to keep the people who come in. prison ministry. Jesus came to make a difference in our lives. The most wonderful aspect of our Lord and Savior is this. Jesus could have stayed where he was, but he didn't. He came. He left heaven and came down here with us to let us know that he cares. Spent 30 years of his life, left the foundations of a ministry, but showed us one thing. If he can do it, so can we. My challenge to us today, church family, prison ministry, community ministry, outside ministry. Oh, come on. Let me just say it this way. Get off your seat, stand up, and make a difference in someone's life. That's it. It's not complicated. Step out of your comfort zone. What has God placed on your heart? What ministry has God placed in your heart? He wants you to do something. You know he does. You've been putting it off for a while. Pastor, I waited. Pastor O'Connor and Pastor Clark are waiting for you to come by their office and tell them, Pastor, God has impressed upon me. I need to do this. Can you help me? That's all you've got to do. Ask for help. The pastors are waiting to equip you so that you can be Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet. Amen. Won't you join with me? Who would join me? Put up your hands. Stand up. Let's have a prayer of commitment, moving forward by faith, that when April comes, and there's one part of our prayer that we will never forget, there's a legacy that's been laid. When I had to speak for her yesterday, I said one thing. Sister Denny's DNA was service.
That's right.
It ran through her very being. But I know it runs through each and every one of us here today. Today, there's someone on your heart. Someone who you've been thinking about. Someone who's been on your mind that you want to see in the kingdom. We don't want to go to heaven alone, do we? We have to go to heaven with others. So God, we're standing today, we're making a commitment that God, we want to be a part of ministry. Now I haven't been to church for a while. Boy, I've missed you, Downsy. You guys look good. You look so good. Is there someone today who needs special prayer? I want to pray for you. Is there someone today who needs special, special prayer? I want to pray for you. God has placed on your heart, stuff is happening, and this is something you want to just, you bring it to the altar and leave it here and put it in the hands of the Master. Whatever that is, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances might be. Special.